Welcome everybody to Dream Goddess. And for those of you who don't know me, if you're listening to this later in an archive, I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden. I'm known as quote unquote Dr. Dream and dream expert. And my first book ever was Discover Your Inner Goddess Queen. And that was 20 years ago. And I'm kind of doing this full circle with goddess work and dream work. And the intention and part of my intent for this course, I like this, what I say at the top of the Dream Goddess website. If the goddesses could speak, what would they say? How would they express? What would they dream through you? How might looking at your nocturnal dreams through goddess glasses help you dance more gracefully in your life? What if your dreams could help you become more of the goddess you were born to be? You were born to be. So this is, I want to emphasize, to me, I feel very strongly about the idea that there's a unique way that these goddesses express through you that may be very, very different than anyone else on the planet. So even if you identify as an Athena archetype or as an Aphrodite archetype or as an Artemis, whatever it is, there's going to be a unique way that you express. So I want, as a subtext to everything that happens here, to be about you finding your unique expression and your unique dance with these goddesses. I'm just going to invite you all, if you're not driving, to take a moment to just take a breath and let's turn within. We'll do a little centering here. I'm just going to invite you to take some big deep breaths and allow yourself to release and let go of as much as you possibly can. Everything that brought you here to this moment, be grateful for it and release it if you can. So continuing to release and let go as we're breathing so that we can drop anything that has been adding stress or any unfinished items on our to-do list. Just letting go. Dropping all the way in. So imagine that throughout this workshop tonight, every exhale, we're letting go a little bit more than before. We're dropping, letting go. We don't have to figure anything out. This is more about allowing insights to descend upon us, allowing that which we already know, that which we already are, to reveal itself. So we don't have to add anything to us. We're already whole and perfect and complete as we are. This is mostly about letting go. I love the metaphor of Michelangelo and him being asked about creating the sculpture of David, and his response was that he helped to release David from the marble that encased him. So we just know that there's a masterpiece within us, and mostly our job is to let go of any belief systems or preconceived ideas that might dim our light. Let's let it go. So that with every brand new breath, we can breathe in our connection to the infinite, unconditional love that governs this universe. We can open up the floodgates of our minds, of our hearts, and just let this love roll right in, this love that's here for us, this guidance, this wisdom, this beauty, this abundance, the health and vitality, wealth and wisdom, joy, sensuality, playfulness, healing, adventure, success, like droplets of rain. Just let it drop in. Breathe it in, breathe a little bit deeper, and just feel those little parts within you that have been parched, that have felt maybe neglected. Let them get drunk on this elixir of spirit that we're breathing in right now. So every breath throughout this night that we have this workshop tonight, let's imagine that we continuously breathe in deeper and deeper into us this love, this guidance, this nutrition, this healing that is specifically coded for us uniquely tonight. So by the time we get off this call, we will just be flying and yet feeling rich and full and illuminated. So I'm going to ask you all to imagine that you have been selected to join this sacred gathering in the Temple of Goddesses upon Mount Olympus. And you see that as you approach, there are seven goddesses there waiting for you. They're not statues of goddess. They are fleshy, bodacious, juicy, gorgeous women that are enlightened in the aspects of wisdom and beauty that they specifically hold, they specifically own. So see that they open up the space for you to enter into their circle, and they place you right in the center of the circle. Breathe in their love that they're beaming on you. And as you stand and take your place in the circle, see that they enclose themselves around you, like they're creating a womb of love around you. Facing in, oming you, home, sweet home. And notice that gathered here is Athena, the goddess of wisdom, strategy. And notice that there is Hera, the goddess of marriage and partnership. Notice that there is Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. And there is Artemis, the goddess of nature. And connect and see that there is Persephone, the goddess of the underworld. And notice that there is Hera that is glowing. She's the goddess of hearth and home. And then there's Demeter, the mother goddess, nurturing goddess. And just feel them all in sync, surrounding you with their love. And as you entrain to them, feel yourself standing taller. Feel yourself breathing deeper. And feel yourself feeling more confident, more balanced, more whole in your soul, more capable of handling any challenge that life might put your way. You laugh in the face of challenge. And you're also more capable of receiving the beauty, the gorgeousness of life because of this collective strength. And just notice that one of these goddesses, Athena, now takes you by the arm, and you go to a special place, just you and Athena, and for now you bid adieu to the rest of the goddesses, and they know that you'll be joining with them again soon. But now you go with Athena, and Athena wants to show you some things. She wants to bring you into her strength. So perhaps you're seated by could be a pillar, it could be somewhere in Athens, because Athens is named after Athena. Or it might be a place that you uniquely feel that she wants to take you to teach you about your strength and to show you who she is within you. And just get that as you are with her, you might be noticing that you're feeling the energy of her. You might be looking at her eye to eye. Notice that the quality that it evokes in you is a feeling of incredible strength, incredible confidence, power, sense of discipline, effortless leadership, unwavering leadership, respect. There's self-respect, and you command respect. So just take a moment in the silence and just feel whatever special message Athena would like to impart to you in this moment, maybe particularly about an area of your life that you could use some Athena guidance on. It will take just about 30 seconds here, so just feel into the silence where you need some Athena support, and then feel her message or guidance for you. And allow that feeling to just move throughout your body. Own that. And thank her. And now that you've got this, know that you can come back to this place, back to Mount Olympus with Athena anytime you need. And now we'll just come back into our sacred circle, giving thanks for Athena and all of the other goddesses. Blessing this circle, blessing each one of us, and knowing that something wonderful is happening here, something that has been scheduled for a long, long time, maybe lifetimes, is happening here tonight. And so it is. Amen. Ah, woman. Ah, dreams. And ah, goddesses. So, who would like to unmute themselves and share anything that they felt or that they noticed about Athena? Let's take a few minutes and just hear. And it might not be even something that you just heard her say, maybe an observation from the week. Okay, Debbie.
Well, I wanted to actually talk about a dream that I had the end of last week, which I think Athena played a part in and had a tremendous effect on me. So, in real life, at the end of last week, I was feeling what you like to say, and what I love the expression, having a dark night of the soul. I was really in a very bad emotional place. Life situations were happening and just throwing me for a loop. And I had this dream, and the gist of it was that I was going from my house to another place where there were a lot of other people, and going back and forth from one place to another. And I'm at this other place, and I'm looking around, and I can't find my keys. And I'm getting very upset about this, because I figure I can't go home because I don't have my keys. Mm. And somebody says to me, no, don't worry about it. When you get there, you will find them, because you will always have your keys with you. You don't have to worry about this, so you can go home and be fine. And when I thought about that dream, I thought, you know, this is, you know, the wisdom of Athena coming through and reminding me of, you know, the strength and the power that I have within myself, that even if I think I've lost it, it's there.
Ooh.
I have it.
Ooh. And
thinking about that really had an effect on changing my mood, because I was able to say, you know, that, you know, I can't do anything about the situation, but I can control how I react to it. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, Debbie, that is big. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's so apropos with Athena too. She definitely holds the key. In Dream Life Coach training, one of the sessions is focused on dream amplification. And I always suggest that this is something that we do when we get a symbol that's really either strange or curious, but particularly if it's an empowering symbol. So what you do is you envision it, like if it's this key, you close your eyes, you see, you imagine that you can really see the key, and then you imagine that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you're basically inside of it. and you feel what this key is like. And then in some way, by making it so big, by amplifying that symbol, you really get what it's telling you and what its deep is for you and what it means for you. So that would be one worth meditating on. Okay, so go for it, Julie.
Okay, I just wanted to say about what Debbie was talking about, and it reminded me of Kelly Clarkson's song, Stronger. What doesn't do you is going to make you stronger, and that's an Athena vibe, I think.
Right? Oh, I love that. By the way, on that note, I was thinking that it's great to have a theme song, because one of my intentions for this whole workshop is to have you, by the end of it, you really have a sense of being fluent in the language of these seven goddesses and how they work in your life. And one shortcut for that is to find a song that really represents it. So this song, Stronger, this is a great Athena song. And even the song, I Can Bring Home the Bacon, burn it, fry it up in a pan. Never, ever, ever let him forget his. Okay. You know what I mean. So think about, and I Am Woman, you know, I'm referring back to the 70s, so not everyone here will recognize these songs, but there's some contemporary songs as well. So just keep a little playlist and share it on Facebook, share links to those videos or songs to get like an Athena playlist, maybe a playlist for each of the goddesses as we go along. So that is great. I mean, there's nothing like a song to pump you up. And even the song Fight Song is a great song, right? Very Athena, because she's like going off to war. Powerful song. I get the chills just thinking about it. Okay, thanks, Julie.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got it where I can read it.
Yay! So, okay, let's hear.
Okay. This is called Goddess Archetypes. Do you ever see yourself in the goddess archetypes or dismiss this information as just a bunch of hype? If you take a deeper look at just what they seem to mean, you may just discover something you have never even seen. The legends and the myths of the creative ancient Greeks touched on aspects of humanity that today we often speak. Their goddesses embodied different types of traits which sent each of them on a path with different kinds of fates. We can recognize within ourselves a certain kind of lean towards a goddess archetype whose path is one that we have seen. But what if we could temper this and add a bit of spice toward a life that is well-rounded? Oh, wouldn't that be nice? These archetypes reside within us, although some are more pronounced. When you wrap your arms around them all, your life takes on more bounce. Let's try a bit of our Athena to be disciplined and fight and add a dash of Aphrodite for some sensual delight. A spark of light from Hestia that makes a home seem nice and warm, an abundance of Demeter's love for frightened children in a storm. We can always call on Hera to make our marriage strong, and introspection from Persephone to reveal the spot where we went wrong. Now add a dollop of adventure to get our mind in gear from that sporty gal, Artemis, who's never shed a tear. At times, these precious goddesses will come to call on us at night. They show inside a dreamscape our shadows, and our light. They offer us a way to bring our best selves into focus with an awareness that is clear, not a lot of hocus pocus. If we observe our life and notice that things are still out of sync, call on the goddesses to help untwist those quirky, pesky kinks. Our knowledge of these goddess types can help both you and me as tools to use to make ourselves the best that we can be.
Okay, if you can unmute yourselves, I don't know. Just everybody, if you're
okay,
if you're visual, just
love
go
that. Thank Woo! You. Beautiful. Woohoo!
Nice. I just wanted to say a few words about goddess archetypes and where they come from and what's the point and what are they? And off the top of my head, my sense about them is that you know, we've all hopefully heard of mirror neurons, and those are, it's like where you see yourself in other people. I think from the beginning of time, or especially during the time of the Greek philosophers, there was a deep desire to understand the human condition, to understand ourselves. And in some way, the best way to understand ourselves is to exaggerate it a bit, is to blow it up, to take something that might be subtle and make it extreme so that it's undeniable. Kind of like in a dream, if there's a very vivid symbol, it's a lot easier to grab onto it and remember it and hold onto it and do some work with it. So it's like these goddess archetypes are who we are. They have the same emotions and same kind of light and dark qualities, but they're 10 times higher. They're just exaggerated in many ways so that we can see ourselves, so that we can learn about ourselves and see one another. And in some ways, the more awareness we have around them and about ourselves, it makes us, we're more at choice in our lives. So in a similar way, in our Western culture contemporarily, we're very fixated on celebrities. And in many ways, the celebrities like Charlize Theron or even Hillary Clinton, like they are the goddesses of our time. And we often see ourselves in them, or we like what we see, we don't like what we see, but we can learn about choices and we can become more lucid by taking a look at them. So in some ways, these Greek goddesses go all the way back to the beginning of written history, and these philosophers really hit on some core elements that have not changed. We are all of these beings. So who are these Greek archetypes? It's a creative expression. It's who we are. And I think it's a tool in a way to help us understand ourselves and how to make choices. So that's one way of looking at it. That's my perspective. When my sister Shannon and I were young and Shannon was first talking about the goddesses and brought it to my attention, it was helpful for me to recognize who an Athena was versus who an Aphrodite was, or when I was being one of those archetypes, or Persephone. It just gave context. And once there's context and there's awareness, there can be a sense of confidence and sort of power, empowerment, when we can understand patterns. I heard it said once by, it was a psychic who I met, who was doing a radio show with me. He was very famous. And he said that being psychic is really just being a deep observer of patterns. And when you understand the telltale signs of certain patterns, you can predict the way the story is going to go and probably the way the story went in the past and how to shift things. So really, an archetype is a pattern. And when you understand what a pattern is, it makes you psychic. So that's what we're doing. We're becoming psychics. Athena is the goddess of wisdom and war. And a little bit about her story. Rhea was his wife at the time, and he was afraid when Rhea got pregnant that the baby that Rhea would have would overpower him. So what did he do? But he decided to eat her. And that's what anybody does when they feel like someone might threaten them. You know, if you're in power, you just swallow them whole. That's what some people do. So he swallowed her whole, thinking, okay, I've gotten rid of the evidence. I've gotten rid of all of that. I'm going to be fine. Until one day he develops a horrible headache, a horrible migraine. And what happens? But Athena gets birthed out of his head. He thought it was going to be a boy that was so dangerous, but it was a girl, Athena, who comes birthed out of Zeus's head, fully clothed in armor, ready for battle. And he loves her. He loves his daughter. And she becomes a daddy's girl. And she is the daughter that he didn't even know that he could have wished for. She wants to learn everything she can from her daddy. She doesn't threaten him. She just wants to learn everything. So he takes her with him everywhere and teaches her everything that he's ever known about battle and about being strategic and winning and leadership. So Athena is a very masculine. She and Artemis are the two most kind of masculine-oriented goddesses. There's not a lot of femininity going on in Athena. She's very much about suck up. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you're having a bad day, wah, 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 just get on with it. Business at hand, focus, get her done. That's her mantra. That's her motto. You can cry later. I don't care. You know, it's just your body. I don't care if you're tired. You do what needs to be done. So when I was in, what was I, 10, 11, Catholic, choosing, we had to choose for our first communion a saint. And I picked Joan of Arc. And lo and behold, Joan of Arc is basically Athena. She, at 16 years old, led the battle in France and led it to victory. And she felt she heard a calling. It was a very spiritual calling, but it led her to battle. And she was able to garner the leadership to take a very small army, lead it into victory. And I always loved Joan of Arc. So I think in saying that, I think it's important for us, especially those who do not identify with Athena as a primary goddess. So to me, Athena used to be my shadow, by the way. So this will change. Sometimes you'll have different shadows, different primaries at different times in your life. Athena was a total shadow of mine not that long ago. I mean, maybe 15 years ago, any woman that even looked the slightest bit Athena or felt a little bit like her, I was like, ooh. And because it felt abrasive, abrupt, too strong. And I also felt scared of Athena's, frankly. But I think it's important as we go along to have the context that all goddesses are welcome in our heart. We want to be curious about them, especially the one that is our shadow. We want to make room and find an archetype, find a woman either in history or in modern society that you actually like, that represents the Athena archetype, somebody that you can resonate with. What's the name of the show? Scandal. Yes, Kerry Washington is a great Athena who I really love. I mean, she's got these great values and she really cares about what she's doing. She's on purpose. So see if you can explore and find an Athena that you resonate with, that you love, that you like, so that, you know, she's not all bad. And if you already have some Athena going on, then just notice other Athenas in your life and your opinion about them. So let me see. Let's read a little bit more. I'll share a little bit more about Athena. So Athena's dreams tend to be filled with strategy. I like to call Athena dreams the kind of nighttime dreams, sleep-working dreams. So we know if we dream about a project that we're working on. So for example, Becky, if you dream about your tarot cards, the tarot dream cards that you want to create, you'll know that that's kind of an Athena. That's an Athena dream. Any project that you're working on, or even being at work, even if it's not something that you like, that you're passionate about, it's work-related dreams tend to be Athena kind of dreams. So that just keep that in mind. In our Western culture, Athena women are natural leaders. They find themselves either working for themselves or climbing to the top of the corporate ladder. I picked up a book that I never would have picked up before because I normally am not drawn to Athena kind of books, but I made myself pick up the book Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. And if there was going to be required reading or suggested reading as you learn about Athena, it would be that book, Lean In. So she is beautiful in her description. She doesn't talk about being an Athena, but she is Athena. If you look at any Fortune 500, 100, any Fortune magazine, any woman that's written about in those magazines, you can bet she's an Athena. So we can learn something from her. And I want to say this, just going forward. I talked about this a little bit last week. There's a video that a friend of mine named Ayman Sawaf has on YouTube. He's the founder of Whole Life, the Whole Life brand, and he is an expert in emotional intelligence. And his video is called A Drop of Joy. And what he talks about is how if you are angry and you deliberately notice that you're angry, and you add one drop of joy to anger, it becomes passion. If you add one drop of joy to depression, it becomes compassion. So my thought, another layer of context for this course is to think about adding a drop of the goddesses into your life if they're not already naturally showing up. So if you're somebody that feels like Athena just doesn't show up in my life, I had a conversation with Suzanne. Can I out you today for a second? Let me know if I can.
Yes.
I love you. Thank you.
Out me, yes.
So I was talking to Suzanne today, and we were kind of going through the goddess checklist, the AHA, a PhD. You guys remember what that is? Yes? Okay. AHA, a PhD. That's Athena, Hestia, Aphrodite, Artemis, Persephone, Hera. Oh, wait, I mixed up. Hera, Hestia, and then Demeter. So Suzanne was saying, yeah, Athena, I haven't been Athena for a long, long time, and I really don't have much Athena going on. And I just asked her, and she said, well, I remember a time when I used to have Athena and when it felt really good to be Athena. So this is actually one way of connecting with Athena. Think about a time in your life that when you were being Athena, like Mariah, when you were running the dream project as the school president, standing up in front of the student body, cheering and bringing everybody into battle to fulfill the vision of the Millennium Goals. Think about a time that you felt good being Athena, and bring a little drop, just a drop of that into your life right now. So just in talking with Suzanne about bringing one little drop, you don't have to bring all of Athena. She doesn't have to run your life right now. Just one drop. But just in talking about one drop, before Suzanne and I got off the phone, she had a new workshop already planned, and she figured out a date, and she knew half the people that she was going to invite. And it was like, oh, there's a few thousand dollars in her pocket, like out of nowhere, just by adding a little bit of drops of Athena, just by talking about her, like activated her. Do you want to say anything about what that was like, Suzanne, to go from no Athena to some Athena?
Yeah, for me, I actually love Athena. And I think when I think of Athena, though, when I hear about the negative aspects, I think I have Demeter married with Athena, because I'm always mm-hmm. more often than not really considerate of others and not to use my power. Like when I hear you describe her, it sounds like she's more like power over people. And my Athena, I think Demeter is right alongside with her, because I prefer power with people. I really like that. I love the feeling of the power I feel when I'm her, and the experience I have is, she's just bold, and I'll make unreasonable requests, and I feel like there's this, I don't know, a generator of energy inside of me that I can like go days without sleeping and just be so excited about generating stuff. And I love how easy things come when I say that I'm committed to something or I want this. It's like stuff falls into my lap. I mean, I've been up since 3 o'clock and whoa. I've been like going all day and feeling really, I'm actually feeling a little tired. But talking about this, I'm not feeling tired. But I got it. I posted something yesterday that was super bold for me, and I'm going through divorce, and I posted that I'm looking for this unique position and like a live-in work position. And I've had like several people contact me. One woman contacted me that is interested in hiring me to not only live in her home, but to pay me $2,000 a month to help take care of her daughter.
What?
And I know. And they live on the beach, and they live in a 3-story house. And on the beach in Santa Monica.
Oh my
god.
So
I'm meeting with them. I know. So that's really cool. And then I applied for a job today for this company that does, anyway, I don't want to go into all things I did, but just, I don't know. I just feel, I love that part of me. And I feel like she's been dormant, completely dormant. Mm. I've been putting that energy into my husband's business and the house and the kids and, but not really focused on my behalf. Like the scene of being a stand for me to be in the world. So that's been cool. I'm gonna sleep really well tonight.
Yes, you will. Oh, honey, you brought up so many really important things. It's very rare that there's a pure type, that we're, that anybody's 100% any of these. That, I mean, we often have them tempered with another goddess or depending on what the moment is. So I think it's really, it kind of takes it to the 2.0 level to figure out how you sprinkle a little bit of Demeter into Athena or bring in Persephone or bring in Aphrodite and notice how you do that. But I think it's really good to notice. I'm going to share my screen for a moment and show you guys. Just, you also brought up, Suze, the light and dark. So to me, I think there's value in looking at both sides because I think we have the light and we have the dark, and it's important to recognize how those show up. So the light aspect, some of the light qualities, you might be able to see this on my screen if you're looking at your computer. What we could consider like the obviously positive qualities of Athena is that she's a leader, she's strategic, she's wise, she's courageous, she focuses on law and justice, she's smart, she's good with math, she's strong, decisive, gets things done, reliable, great work ethic. I love the saying, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy woman. That's Athena. Successful, she's powerful in the world. Financially stable, wealthy, abundant, mental. She tends to be mental, sometimes judgmental, but mental. Disciplined, she commands respect. She's impressive. She can stand toe-to-toe in a man's world. She makes a name for herself. To me, there's two key words that stand out for me about Athena, and they're empowerment and respect. When I think about Athena now, and when I think about her consciously, and we'll talk about the unconscious in a second. There was a time in my life when I was transitioning from being an actress in my 20s and then feeling so disempowered in many ways because I was always up for something. I did get parts, I did get to work, but it always felt like a struggle. And there would be so much time spent trying to get a job and trying to get people to like me and I felt very Aphrodite. And it was very much about people liking me. It was kind of tempered with Athena too, but Aphrodite was more kind of leading, but I was having a hard time getting work and feeling good about myself. And even if I would get a job, sometimes the funding would fall out of the film, or there was just so many variables that I didn't have control over. And it was really difficult for me. And I became a hypnotherapist partly because I was in therapy for myself. That was during my Persephone deep dive introspection. I became a hypnotherapist. And then as I began my own practice and started making a living doing something that I felt proud of and I felt was useful and making a difference in people's lives. And I was good at it. And it was like, it was like a drug. It was so empowering. I felt empowered. And in a way, one of the reasons why many of you who know me know that when you talk to me, I'm often such a like an advocate for you guys to write your books and get your books out there, or get your projects out there, because I must be projecting in some way my own desire for your own empowerment. And sometimes empowerment, it should really come from within, but sometimes it does come from creating something and being and finding a place in the world. In Athena is the goddess of being in this world. There, some of the other goddesses we'll explore are much more about really not being so much a part of this world. But Athena is a part of, like, you know, I incarnated here, I'm going to be here. And if I'm going to be here, I might as well make a name for myself. I might as well have fun and have a sense of empowerment. And also respect. One of the big reasons why I think this course is relevant, at least for me, and I know for many of us, is the Aphrodite-Athena split. And a lot of us, I know, left to my devices, and then I'll shut up and stop talking about me, and I want to open it up and hear about you guys. But back, I think left to my own devices, I would be a lot more Aphrodite than I am now. And that might seem gross to you, for those of you who think I'm already too much Aphrodite, but I think that there was a point in time when I was younger that there was a lot of the negative aspect of Aphrodite projected onto me when I was really young. Before I had ever kissed a boy, people called me a slut and a whore because I had a lot of Aphrodite energy. And there was this part of me that wanted to be respected. And so there was I kept shoving little bits of Aphrodite away and letting Athena creep in many ways, because Athena demands respect. Aphrodite doesn't always get respect. She gets attention, but not always respect. So sometimes it's helpful to get to know an archetype by looking at a contrast. And one of the best contrasts to Athena is Aphrodite. Okay, so let's see if anybody wants to share about anything that I just said before we go on.
I really wanted to respond to what Suzanne said there. I think it goes along with what you said, Kel. Suzanne, you said that you felt that Demeter was holding hands with Athena. And I feel like in order to be a good mom, you have to have Athena, you have to hold Athena's hand, because we're CEOs of the house. It's such a primal strategic thing in order to make sure that the kids are taken care of and the timing is done, they're fed and then they're off to school and the homework is done. And it's like being a CEO of a company to be a parent. So when you said Demeter holds hands with Athena, I felt like the light bulbs went off for me. And I saw how beautiful a team that is. So I just really wanted to comment on that. And now I'm going to give the floor back.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. Who else would like to go? Michelle. Oh, my God. Michelle's raising her hand, and then Tammy. So, Michelle, there you are. Wait, I'm trying to mute you.
There I am.
There you are.
You know what? When you first said, let's do this, what goddess do you see yourself as? And I'm like, I'm Persephone for sure. Like, that's me. Mm-hmm. But after talking, I thought, oh my, I am so Athena. I am so Athena.
Oh my God.
There's so many times where, like, I have to reel it in because I come across very strong, you know, and I will just, like, let you know how I feel when I feel it. And I'm expecting you to take it as, like, I'm giving you this gift, you know, and I'm learning that that about myself. So thank you for that. At first I'm like, well, what am I going to learn today? What is this about? How am I going to, I'm not Athena. I don't see that. I'm not driven like that. I'm not about success and money, but oh my goodness, I see that it's more than that. And Yeah, I'm about 35% Athena for sure.
I love what you said. And you know what? I think we can think of any of the goddess archetypes as being on like a gradation scale of like light and dark. So like, what if the most enlightened version of Athena was being on purpose with our life's mission and being unstoppable about that? Not just about, I want to be important, I want to be successful, I want money, and I want everyone to like me and know my name. You know, right. I mean, that might be one of the lower ebbs of Athena. And then maybe the darker edge of Athena are some of these shadow qualities, which can be warring, like always looking for a fight, bitchy, bossy, pushy, ruthless, crispy, all head, no heart, busy, stressed out, result-oriented, ice queen, critical. So that can be, we could just say some of the lower frequencies of Athena, but it's certainly, to me, I want us to have as much of a holistic view of these goddesses as possible, and then find ourselves in it and notice where we're, you know, ebbing high, ebbing low, and then with consciousness we can, you know, make an adjustment if we like. But I love that you just saw yourself. I think that's great. And you are strong. I've seen that. I have totally seen your Athena. Awesome, Michelle. Thank you. Okay, is that you, Becky? Is that you? Is that your hand or no? Okay. Who else? Anybody else like to go? Oh, Tammy. Get out.
Oh. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm on the phone and I'm looking at the computer. It's fun. I don't know. I just wanted to say a couple words about this because I felt very Athena when I lived in Los Angeles. And since I moved out of LA and moved to San Diego, I don't know. It's weird. It's like I've had some Athena energy, but I feel that it'd be neat to hear you talk about the burnout and adrenal fatigue piece that you wrote about it with the Athena, because I can relate to that. And what's interesting right now is I look at, you know, my Athena has always wanted to express from living that most enlightened version of the Athena so I can make an impact on the world.
Yes.
With my, you know, my work.
Yes.
And I've definitely, Athena's definitely burned me out. There's no doubt about that. And what's interesting is, it feels like Athena's not driving me anymore, but there's that, it's like a stuckness when Athena's not being expressed and you are an Athena. And I don't know, I don't know if anybody can relate to that where you had a lot of Athena at one point, maybe you burned out, so you're not really living your Athena currently, or I should keep it in the eye. I don't feel I'm really living my full Athena these days. Which is why my Hestia was my primary goddess, which is so bizarre because I've, you know, but it doesn't surprise me because I'm very much about being home and not being out in the world anymore because I'm always tired now. And I don't want to be that. So I want my Athena back, which is why I think the visualization, she was kicking my butt a little, like, come on, let's go. But I also don't want to live the Athena way that was all work and no play, a lot of burnout, a lot of go, go, go energy, achieve. You know, I've always kind of financially taken care of myself. And so there's always been that driver in me to do well because I had to. I mean, I don't have any backup. It's all me. So I don't know if anybody can relate to that where it's just like, and so, you know, Kelly is always in my ear talking to me about my book and my books and my books. And I want to do them, and it feels like there's some stifling going on where my Athena wants to come out. But anytime I think of it, sometimes a new project, I go, oh, that sounds so exhausting. I just want to stay home and light candles, and I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's too much of a project. So sometimes I feel like my Athena's burned me out too much, and then I've gone the other way, and now I'm in Hestia, and I just want to stay home. But that Athena's going, but you're leaving something on the table, and you're not doing what you really came here to do. So there's a battle between Hestia and Athena, and I don't know if this helps anybody else, but putting it out there.
I want to ask you a question, and I know that Mariah wants to comment too, but I just want to ask you, did you have a chance to do like the goddess checklist and try a drop of Athena, not like a full ocean of Athena, but just one little raindrop?
No, I did not.
Ah, so that
is that the same thing as doing the pie?
Well, that the pie is kind of a visual way of being able to see where you are now and where you want to be so that you can recognize what you want to tweak, what you want to work on. But on a daily basis, the way that I suggest working on, like doing the goddess checklist is to.
No, I've never done that.
So this would be a fun exercise for you, Tam, just, and to get creative with it, because I think there's a thought that if we're missing one of the goddesses, that we have to throw a wrecking ball through our whole lives and change it all so that she can take over. And that's not the implication at all. It's really, I would imagine that, I mean, it could be you know, you following up on one thing, you said, doing one little Athena thing. And maybe it's about making a list of Athena activities that you could pick and do one a day, or one, even a nudge in that direction. One little baby drop. I mean, it could be chapter titles for your book. Maybe you write one down one day and that's it. That's all you need to do to just acknowledge Athena. My hypothesis that I'm experimenting with and that I'm finding is, is that having, acknowledging even a drop of the goddesses each day makes for more joy, more juice, more balance. And like what Julie said in her poem, more bounce. That there's going to be one goddess that's more pronounced, but if we bring them into balance, we'll have more bounce, even if it's just a drop. So that's something that I want you to explore. Like, to me, Demeter is my least, it's my shadow goddess. But I think, I don't have kids, so how am I supposed to do Demeter? Oh, wait a minute, I have dogs. I can just give them extra attention and love. And then when I get a phone call from someone that is younger that wants attention, like maybe Mariah, or a text, it's like, oh my God, here's my opportunity to be Demeter. It's just like, even if it's a drop of Demeter, it makes me feel so good. And it's just for a second. So I'm not having to throw a wrecking ball through my whole world, but it's sweet to bring in one little piece. So
that's an awesome idea, because I don't know about anybody else, but that the thought that sometimes goes through my head is, when am I going to get my Athena back? Like, come on, Tammy, let's do it, you know? And then I don't. So I love the idea of just a drop of, and I do a drop of Athena almost every day.
And ooh, I you're working every day.
That. Yeah,
right. Because there's a lot of Athena that you take for granted, that it's the water you swim in, because you've right. become very, I mean, Tammy is a very successful teen life coach, and you've, in many ways, you're not striving to get there. You're at the mountaintop and you've been living on the mountaintop for a long time. So you're like, there's, you know, there's other mountains you could climb, but this is a pretty cool place to be. So, right. I mean, maybe it's a matter of just acknowledging where you are, Athena, and you don't have to change anything, or maybe just subtle shifts. I want to acknowledge last summer when Dana and I were in Europe, I found myself being much more Aphrodite. And even though I had work to do while I was there, I found myself like turning my nose up at Athena. Like, oh, Athena is so American. And like, European way is so much more Aphrodite, so much more sensuous, so much more feeling, so much more relaxed. Take a nap in the middle of the day for 3 hours. And like, what? And I really fell into that and loved it. And of course I fell back into not doing that when I came home, but there's, you know, Athena isn't the only show in town. It's the show in town right now, because that's what we're focusing on. Because each week we're going to focus on a different goddess, but we don't have to, you know, let her run our lives, but acknowledge where she's at and give her a little love each day. Okay. So
awesome. Thank you.
Somebody else, and Jody, just so you know, I'm going to want you to share something at some point. I can see you, but so if you feel like sharing anything, give a yodelehi who, okay, at some point. Mariah, did you want to say something in response to what Tammy was saying? Okay, you're unmuted. Go for it, honey.
Hi, Tammy. I just...
Hi.
Hi.
You're so cute. You are so cute.
Thank you. So I just wanted to say that I could totally relate. And it's funny because Hestia is my main goddess, and Athena is my shadow. And I feel like I'm at the same exact place that you are right now, because, you know, transitioning, I'm in college, this is my first year of college, and transitioning from high school to college has been pretty difficult for me, considering that in high school I was like this, I was embodying Athena, I was leading groups of clubs, and I was just constantly like on top of things and being of service, and it felt good. And then I felt like that was kind of going away. And so when I transitioned into college, it was like I was in a part of anything. And it's not like I didn't try to join a club, but, and so, and then I started going to these meetings, and then I felt so connected. And, but sometimes I just feel like I feel stagnant. Like I have ideas, I have projects I want to take on, but it's like, gosh, like, you know, it's like, yeah. But yeah, I can totally relate. And I just want to give you a virtual hug. So hugging you.
Aww. Here's a kiss.
Try out a drop of Athena. And by the way, your rapper name is Athena MC. So.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Oh.
Just saying.
That's awesome.
So any of you who I can't see raising hands, if you'd like to speak up, just blurt it out if there's anything that you would like to share. Okay.
Well, I'd like to say something.
Yeah, Debbie.
No, I could totally relate to what Tammy, what you were saying. And one of the things was I was surprised when we did that little test that Athena came out as my primary goddess because I wasn't really feeling very Athena when I was doing all that, and realized that, you know, I really had to maybe be more introspective and look and to discover where Athena was and has been in my life, because I wasn't seeing it even though it's there.
Yeah. So some of the things to think about, questions, and this was in the Athena packet that I sent you, it's to think about who do you know that embodies the Athena archetype, the light and the shadow. What do you like about Athenas? You know, I notice that I've become very Athena, but when I'm around, there's a woman I know who's very Athena, and she refers to me as so feminine, and I'm like, oh my God. And then when I'm around my super feminine Aphrodite friends, they think of me as kind of super strong, super Athena. So it's just notice who you're around and when, what brings out Athena and what doesn't. What do you love about her? What do you admire about her? What do you dislike about her? What inspires you? And what might you want more of? So as I ask these questions, see if any of these, if anything pops out that you want to respond to, and if anybody has a big aha, what scares you about Athena? What would it take for you to be in right relationship with Athena? And by that, by right relationship, it's like, what would it take for you to really have your Aphrodite, I mean, your Athena connected and you're embodying her and everything's kind of clicked into gear? And have you had any Athena dreams? Notice when you have them and call them by their rightful name. So any other Athena thoughts? Any Athena ahas?
Joe.
Hey, okay. I got a quick Athena thing to say.
Yep.
I feel like I had a really, really gushy spiritual feeling tone mommy who did not graduate from high school, struggled with intelligence, struggled with spelling, struggled with putting sentences together, and struggled feeling respected in the world. And she's in the spiritual world, she's, you know, an emotional and spiritual genius, but in the physical world, she went homeless after losing millions of dollars because she just didn't have enough Athena to manage her physical life. And so there's an enormous amount of disrespect heaped upon my mom from her entire community and me. And I was very much a spiritual being like my mom, but I wanted so badly to have the respect of the world to be the frame around my spiritual intelligence so that I didn't look airy-fairy or like a dreamer. And so I've called upon Athena as my main goddess because I like the respect that she claims, and like you, I got too much attention from my Aphrodite and I wanted respect more than I wanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel like the best parts of Aphrodite are in me and run my world, and where it's difficult for me is that it's harder to be soft. it's harder for me to open and be soft with my partner because I'm so busy in my armor that it's just harder to open. So the downside for me is how long it is to get all of those, like, get smart walls of protection. For those of you that know the show Get Smart, like 10 walls of protection that you had to get into his lower cave. And I feel often like that. It's hard for me to switch hats and get soft. So I wore a ton of cleavage today and no bra in order to bring Aphrodite out of my drawer. There you go. All right, I'm done. Is that a good minute?
That was perfect. That was great.
Okay.